I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Today's episode is a bonus episode. I hope you enjoy it, and please make sure to tune in Monday for a brand new episode of the Kara Golden Show. Enjoy!
Entrepreneur's Enigma is a podcast for the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, for the wins and the fails that we all face being entrepreneurs, and how we learn from adversity. Every week, I talk to a different entrepreneur with a story to tell. I'm Seth Goldstein. Come with me on the journey. This is Entrepreneur's Enigma. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Entrepreneur's Enigma podcast. Today, I have the one, the only Kara Golden of Hint Water, where you can go find it at drinkhint.com. She's also the author of Undaunted. No one can see this, but I'm sporting the hat. Thank you, Kara, for the Kara package.
Of course.
And it's amazing. Hint is delicious, but there's no sugar in it. And I'm like, it's water with essence in it, and it's amazing. Like, I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I'm saying literally, I like sugary drinks, and it's like, okay. And the crisp apple one has a little tinge of something, but there isn't something. It's refreshing. Yeah, it's tasty. I'm like, this is awesome. So maybe y'all should get me to drink water for once instead of iced tea.
There you go. You could be a spokesperson for Hint.
There you go. So anyhow, Kara, thank you for being on the show. This is a real thrill for me. And then she's drinking her Hint right now. She just took a sip of her Hint.
Of course.
You have to show your own product. You have to.
Well,
if you came up with LaCroix, I'd be like, wait, what?
No. Yeah, what am I doing? Well, it's funny. It's in our garage. We live right next to a state park. Anyone knows where we live, is always like, oh, shoot, I forgot my water. And then they stop by our house and they ring the bell.
And
stock up. So it's, not usually strangers, but friends.
But friends and family that are like, right. Oh, Kara's here.
They always have water in the garage.
I forgot my water. And so, then I think because I read your book and they seem like they're like your biggest cheerleaders, along with Theo, your husband.
Because they are.
You got your kids to drink water. My kid doesn't drink water. I haven't tested Hint yet. I will report back because he doesn't drink water. He drinks iced tea, which is bizarre. He drinks a lot of milk. He's a spokesperson from the dairy industry.
How old is he?
He's 9. So he's at that stubborn age. So anyhow.
It's interesting. The number of parents that I've talked to who have said that they thought they discovered it, and then they would ask their kids, 8 or 9, definitely into high school and in college, like, oh, look, I found this drink. It makes you, let's just put it this way. They think that their parents are out of touch because they've known about Hint for a while.
And they
know all about it. So it's great. I think, the younger generations, I mean, today, Gen Z really
Absolutely. Does
want to be drinking water. And they're, especially if they're active, they're doing any type of sport, they're starting to question, why was I putting all the sugar in? I just don't perform.
Or the chemicals. I mean, honestly, sometimes the sugar is better than the chemicals, which is ironic.
It's true. And it's the last thing you want when you're trying to recover. You've got a tough game. You're sweating outside.
You don't want to drink the sugar. Yeah.
No, because you feel nauseous, right? And so we've become this drink for a lot of different teams that are baseball, lacrosse. I hear it all the time. They're like, oh, do you know about this team in, you know, New Hampshire, and that's awesome. All they drink. Yeah, so it's really, it's fun. It's pretty cool how it's got sort of this viral effect that I don't exactly know how it got there, but I'm not surprised.
We're going to take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and get right back to the show.
LinkedIn believes B2B marketing can be B2 brilliant, B2 bold, and B2 breakthrough. How? With a platform purpose-built to make B2B marketing mean more for your business. A platform with tools to help you build better relationships with your key customers, to boost your buyer's journey while building your brand. A platform with trusted data and lead generation you need to beat your KPIs, drive ROI, and stand out amongst the competition. And with the targeting tools on LinkedIn, you can reach your precise audience right down to their job title, company name, location, and more to make sure your ads are always seen by those who matter. So let's get ready to be too boldly go where no marketer has gone before, because LinkedIn is where B2B is everything you can be. Rethink your B2B marketing ads and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply.
So to go back to the beginning, well, not the very beginning, but you grew up in Arizona, went to ASU, got out.
Correct.
Was very ambitious, which is a great thing. Said, I'm going to go work at Fortune. Mm-hmm. Instead, you end up working with Time, right? It was Time you ended up working with, but like same conglomerate. And, you know, do you think that was the start of the entrepreneurialness, that you had like the go-getterness? I'm not sure if that's a word, Roy, but you had like, I'm going to get to this point. You were determined to get to where you wanted to go. Do you think that helped you with Hint?
Sure. I always talk about one's journey helps them to get where they are today. But you don't think about it when you're in it. For me, I wanted my first job out of college. And I think my dad always instilled in me that brands win. And he always really believed, he had founded a company called Healthy Choice inside of ConAgra. And he always really believed in brands. And so he instilled in my head, like, you should go and work for a brand. Because even if it doesn't work out, when you're interviewing somewhere else, they remember the brand. And then they'll actually listen to you.
And you have that weight behind you, which is great.
Right, right. And so I think that was sort of, you know, definitely impactful for me. But I think also negotiating with my parents. Look, I was the last of five kids. And
Oh, you had to negotiate.
My parents were so good at, in my mind, at saying no. I mean, it was like, hey, Dad, can I go to a party on Friday night? No. Okay, why? You just can't. And I'm like, well, that's not really an answer. And
you sound like my son. That's exactly what my son will never accept a straight no.
Ever. Yeah. So my dad used to say, exactly. My dad used to say, you know, Kara, the problem with you is that when I say maybe to you, you're like halfway out the door going and doing what I was not really sure about, because you were like, well, you didn't say no.
That's almost a yes. Yeah.
Right. And again, I was good at negotiating. My dad and the rest of my siblings, I think, thought I'd be a lawyer because I was constantly thinking about how do I figure out how to get them. But it also extended to, you know, my parents were both working. We had five kids.
Five kids. Wow.
At a very young age, I was figuring out what I wanted to do and how I could do it. So things like, I was just telling this story to my son the other day where my thing was gymnastics. And so I had to get gymnastics all the way across town. The bus system in Scottsdale, Arizona was not really existent. And and so my sister would swim on the other part of town. And then my brother would be in football or baseball or whatever. And so I was always the one that was saying, okay, I need mom to pick me up at 6 o'clock, and she needed to be two more places. And she and so I would say, okay, well, who else can give you a ride? And my brother and sister were really good at saying, I don't know. And so I'm like, okay. So I would get the phone numbers of like the other people on the team.
Your siblings around.
Well, I would figure it out. Like I'd organize it in order to get it done. And then sometimes I would also, you know, figure out that there wasn't going to be anyone. So then I had to go figure it out. So
for yourself,
for myself. Right. But it was very rare that I couldn't figure it out. And I think that's awesome. Those kind of skills at a really young age was
they stick with you too.
Yeah. And then I would always, if I just couldn't figure it out, my parents were always there to help me figure it out. Yeah. But like, I almost viewed it as fun. Like it was a puzzle to go figure it out. And so when I was going to actually find my first job, it was like an extension of the puzzle. I mean, I wanted to be in journalism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are like, wait, you're going to New York? I mean, how are you going to get there? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to drive. I mean, I'm going to fly there.
Arizona to New York. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so, and I had some savings and I had, we didn't have Expedia or Orbitz back then. So I went down the street to my local travel agent. And I mean, it's a crazy story because I knew I wanted to go to all these different cities and try and find a job. And also kind of, I thought I wanted to be in journalism, but I didn't have experience. So I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to get hired. I knew I wanted to work for a brand, but I thought, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm just going to get really good at interviewing. And so I went to a local travel agent and said, look, there's certain legs that I have interviews set up to go and meet with people like New York. But if I can afford it, I want to go to all these different cities. So I want to go from Phoenix to LA to San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, and New York. I knew I wanted to live in a big city. Yeah. And, you know, everybody, including me, was thinking I probably had to cut some legs. But the travel agent called me back and she said, it'll be $472.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait, for one leg? No, all of it. And so I was
super sure. That's a good travel agent.
But I was super sure that they made a mistake. Yeah. And even $472, I thought it would be $2,000 to do the whole thing. And I was going to have to cut some legs off or whatever. But it was $472. And I had enough on my American Express that I got in college. I had enough left on my Amex to charge it. And so I did it really thinking that I was going to say, well, you know, you told me it was $472 and, you know, and I bought the ticket already. I kept thinking even when I showed up at the airport that there was going to be some problem, but
it wasn't. And the rest is history.
It wasn't. And I got to New York and I never stayed in a hotel. I ended up finding friends or parents of friends of mine. Because I, you know, something else I also share with people, especially college students. I'm like, look, you're in a position where if you go find a friend who, you know, is from Chicago and you see they go to their parents and they say, Kara's interviewing for a job. And she was wondering if she might be able to stay for one night. And, you know, of course not. Right? It's not like I'm there to, you know, party and have fun. I'm actually interviewing for a job. And, you know, and so that's what I did. And I always had enough money to pay for flowers or a bottle of wine. I'd make the bed and all that kind of stuff. So I was a nice guest at all the places. Yeah. But what I realized is, you know, if you ask for help, along the way, you figure out a lot. And, you know, most of these parents thought it was pretty darn cool that I went to.
Why aren't you doing what Kara's doing?
Yeah, exactly. My friends probably hated me in some cases, that they were like, wait, what's she doing? Hey, Kara here. We are thrilled you are listening with us, and I hope you're enjoying this episode. I have had the pleasure of interviewing so many amazing guests over the past few years, and there are so many more to come. I cannot wait. And my focus is on entrepreneurs and CEOs, real innovators and leaders who are making a difference. That's what I'm looking forward to bringing you. One of the reasons I enjoy interviewing many of my guests is that I get to learn. We all need to hear stories that teach us to be better, inspire us, and help us get through those challenging moments. I can't remember the last time I had a guest that didn't leave me feeling like a major hurdle had been overcome. We just don't hear these stories enough. And when we do, we learn to be smarter and stronger. Don't you agree? Episodes are concise but packed with amazing info that you will surely be inspired by. Do me a favor and send me a DM and tell me what you think about each interview that you get a chance to be inspired by. And if you are so inclined, please leave one of those 5-star reviews for The Kara Golden Show on one of your favorite podcast platforms as well. Reviews really, really help. Now, let's get back to this episode. But yeah, so that was, Fortune Magazine was where I wanted to be. And
You've done so much.
But yeah,
though you didn't get Fortune necessarily, you've done so much. You worked the time, not in the journalism department, but you might argue that this was better experience in the long run, the circulation manager at Time eventually, because you're able to figure out how distribution goes, which you run a beverage company, you got to figure out this distribution. And then you learn some sales at CNN, And then America Online, that was like one of my favorites. Besides the hint story, was one of my favorite stories. Is how you had all the swag of AOL because you were the AOL West Coast office. It was your garage. Yes. And this is AOL for crying out loud.
I've still got some umbrellas in my
garage.
You
still have umbrellas still?
I still have. In fact, somebody reached out to me who collects AOL merchandise. And he's an engineer, I think, at Apple. And he's, it was really kind of funny. And I said, only because I think it's hysterical, like I probably do have an umbrella for you. So I've got to send it to him.
It is, damn, sure. That's awesome.
I know. So anyway.
So what's you've done the corporate world and then you decided with Theo to go out and do Hint. What is the best thing? And I'll pair these questions together. What's the best thing and the worst thing about being an entrepreneur?
So, it's funny. I didn't intend on being an entrepreneur. I was quite happy sort of on my path that I was on. I started, as you mentioned, at Time Magazine. And, one of the things that I realized as I was working at Time, I didn't call it culture back then, but I realized that I didn't sort of fit into the mold that they wanted me to fit into. So they wanted me to, not everybody, but many of the people thought that people who rose through the ranks should go to business school and should come from Ivy League schools. And so I thought I'm going to need to make a decision about that. I can't make a decision about going to an Ivy League school, but I can make a decision about going to business school or not. And that's when I was recruited to go and work at another media company called CNN. And I had
a small little agency, a small little media company.
But it was small. I mean, it was 40% of the U.S. It was 12% internationally. Wow. And so it was small. But, probably another thing that I learned about that was founder-led companies, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this energy in a founder-led company. And Ted Turner was primarily in Atlanta, but he came into New York. And when he came off the elevator, you knew he was here. I mean, there was this larger-than-life, very different culturally than what I was seeing at Time. There's no founder because it's a very old company. They're long gone.
Yeah.
Right. And, but great in terms of quality and brand and lots of things there. I learned a lot in circulation actually about direct to consumer and subscriptions and how to watch consumers. Yeah. All of that kind of stuff. But I think that my first taste of actually seeing an entrepreneur in action and a founder in action was CNN and Ted Turner. And there were days that we didn't know whether or not it was going to make it. I mean, the big guys were ABC and NBC and big network TV, like the news. That's who we were competing against.
Mm-hmm.
And but Ted believed. And so something I take away from many things that I took away from my experience at CNN, but one of the things that I take away from that experience in particular was that Ted was always larger than life, high energy, putting stakes in the ground around mm-hmm. the fact that CNN will be around the world and that the world needs the same news feed. It doesn't matter what the politics are or mm-hmm. they need the same news feed. And there were times when we were like, I don't know. But then when, you know, I happened to be there when there was a major leader who learned that his country was being bombed from CNN. And that was like the hockey stick, right? I mean, all of a sudden, every ad agency wanted to talk to us because I was in sales. And so being able to experience the hockey stick and see that was pretty exciting. When I moved from New York out to San Francisco, my husband was getting into technology law, and everybody said, mm-hmm. go west. That's where it's going to happen first. It'll eventually happen in New York City, but for now, go west. And that was when I started to think about what brands are in the Bay Area. It felt like the main thing that was in San Francisco was tech. And I wasn't mm-hmm. tech. I was media. I didn't want to work in media outside of New York City because I felt like it's a very different, a satellite office mm-hmm. versus the mothership office to me just felt like, maybe I could do that, but wasn't as interesting.
But I find it fascinating. I'm looking at your LinkedIn. I'm cheating. I'm looking at your LinkedIn.
Yeah, no, go for it.
But then you go to AOL and really, you're at the quintessential entrepreneur that took their experiences. Like, it seems like everything happened for a reason. Maybe in the moment, you didn't know it was happening for a reason. You're like, I'm at a job and I'm enjoying it. All right, time to leave. Let's go to this next job. But it seems like you've taken every experience, circulation, sales, electronic commerce and shopping, e-commerce. I mean, your site is beautiful and works. I mean, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs when they have an idea, but they can't execute the website very well. Your site works because you get it. I'm sure you have a whole team that gets it too, but at the top, you have to make sure that the stakeholders get it. And your site was, I just got three cases of Hinton Water and it was easy peasy to do. So
thank you. Well, and so I think for me, just kind of going back to your original question, I didn't know I was going to be an entrepreneur, but having worked for entrepreneurs, I was actually part of an acquisition mm-hmm. with AOL. So I didn't actually interview at AOL. I was with a company that was a spin out of Apple that was actually a little known Steve Jobs idea that
I
figure out how to actually get an interview at Apple, coupled with the fact that it was 100 miles away. It was in Cupertino versus San Francisco where I was living. So I ended up cold calling. I picked up the phone after Walt Mossberg in the Wall Street Journal wrote about this little CD-ROM company that was mm-hmm. doing something pretty cool that would actually change the face, maybe, of e-commerce. And
it wasn't e-commerce, it was CD-commerce, which I thought, I laughed. And my wife looked at me and she's like, what? I'm like, I told her, that was really cool for back then.
Yeah, I was just intrigued by it. And so I picked up the phone. And again, I didn't intend on going and getting a job. I just asked this guy if he'd go grab coffee with me. I figured if nothing else, maybe I'd know one person. Maybe he'd give me some ideas on how to get a job in tech. And the first thing out of his mouth was, so what were you doing in New York? And I said, oh, I worked for this company called CNN. And he said, what's Ted Turner like? And here he had worked for Steve Jobs. And I was fascinated. Oh, wow.
That is a
right?
Interesting conversation. Yeah.
And it was an interesting conversation. And he was saying, like, what did you learn? And, you know, he's a little bit older than me and had sort of been at Apple for a yeah. while and knew Steve pretty well. And so for me, it was, you know, it was sort of like trading stories. And he was interested in what I had experienced and been through. And I was interested in what he had experienced and been through. And then I said, so wait, how do you guys make money? And he said, well, we haven't figured that out yet. And I said, really? Like, how? Dilemma. I mean, this is amazing because at CNN, we were all concerned about making money. Like, Ted Turner wanted to make money. And he was like, well, we're just developing the product. And whole different mindset. And I said, well, that's interesting. I mean, do you worry about not having a job pretty soon? And he's like, no, not really. Maybe you should come and like help us figure out how to make money. And I'm like, sure. And then the next thing I knew, I had a job offer to run this thing called business development. And I figured, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, maybe I get fired, you know, maybe it's an experience. And all of a sudden, one of our investors was this company called America Online. And I'll never forget, I mean, this is a crazy story. I'll never forget, they're in our office. And Ted Leonsis, who was the president of America Online for many, many years, and, you know, he's really intrigued with the product. They're a major investor in the company. And, you know, he, after a while, was just like, maybe we should just acquire you guys because you've got all these relationships mm-hmm. with all these catalogers. And, you know, that was when, if you remember AOL, where there was, you know, these buttons where there was news mm-hmm. and sports and that sort of a channel strategy.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, well, maybe you should. And he's like, have you been on America Online? And this was prior to them sort of doing this graphical like fix of their site. And I said, you know, actually, I'm not going to lie. I was on CompuServe. And I mean, I remember Ted like was like, really? And I said, so why aren't you on AOL? And I said, you know, it's just not very graphically interesting. And I mean, that's why I really like the CD-ROM because you know, it was,
you couldn't
it
do
was
it back
great.
In the 90s. You couldn't do what we do now. You couldn't have Hint, you know, drinkhint.com back in the 90s. You couldn't.
Because, yeah, the speed of the computer and, you know, it just wasn't there. And that's
it
where
it would never load.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, I go back to, you know, Steve Jobs. I mean, it was Steve Jobs' idea that if we actually told the consumer to load a disk in the computer and the disk would actually write to the hard drive and the consumer would be told to update, right? Yeah. And that's it. And you didn't. And so it made me appreciate the fact that great products, consumers don't need to know how they work. They need to know the bare bones basic. If you have a drink, it needs to, you know, taste great, all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, long-winded story, because I felt like with all of these different entrepreneurs, and then that extended into working at AOL, working, you know, with incredible entrepreneurs, including Ted Leonsis and Steve Case, and it was an experience of building the puzzle, right? Continuing to build the puzzle. That's the thing about both being in media and both being in technology is that both of those industries are really tied to getting better, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's how you grow based on, and oftentimes it's, you know, technology needs to get there in order for it, the product to actually be better. Mm-hmm. But having worked in that, I kept, I had experience searching for how do we get better and constantly thinking about how do I get better, which is kind of what athletes do, right? How do I get better? How do I get better?
It's like if you read the book, which everyone should go buy this book, but you read it, look at how you, what you did with Hint, is that you had the jugs of water that you came up with. But then, like, then you would think, I laughed out loud again when Theo had to drink the not dangerous, but the mold in the water, you know, to prove that it was safe.
Totally.
And then he had to solve that problem with his espresso machine and all that good stuff. I mean, you got to read this book. I mean, it's not just, it's autobiography, but it's so much more. I mean, there's stories and it's, you know, it's about family. It's a great book. I love it. So,
you
know.
Thank you.
Here's a question, and then we'll wrap up here. What is the most important thing to carry with you all the time?
Carry with me all the time. Besides Hint, because I always have that. I always have that bottle in my hand. You know. What do I have in my hand all the time? I feel like I have, well, besides my phone and Hint,
yeah,
I have
everyone says
credit
the phone.
Card. Yeah. More and more, you know, with Apple Pay, it's probably less.
Tap the phone, yeah.
Yeah, and just tapping it. But what do I have? You know, I think I have memories, right? Mm. I have a lot of memories and I'm constantly thinking about things. I'm a big thinker. I'm constantly thinking about things and connecting dots. And I always
solving that puzzle.
And solving the puzzle. And so I'll randomly, I go on hikes every morning with my dogs at the state park.
You're right by a
I'm in Marin County. Yeah, I'm right next to a state park. There's like 100 acres of trails. And
dogs must love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm out there, you know, 4 or 5 miles at least every morning.
That's awesome.
And which is great, but it also is my time to sort of think. And I find myself, you know, can be somewhat random because I'll just go somewhere where I'll start thinking about things like my experience at time and I'll be like, oh, that's what that was for. I mean, I'm really, I really love, as Steve Jobs used to say, connecting the dots, right? I think it's a lot of fun. Sometimes there are experiences where, you know, they were challenging. They were hard times for me, but I'm like, oh, but there were lessons learned. And you know, and that's what I really try and get across in my book too, that I think that sometimes my experiences may actually help people think about their own.
Oh yeah, I absolutely agree. So Kara, best place to find you online, obviously drinkhint.com, but where else, where do you hang out a lot online?
You know, I'm all over all social platforms, even TikTok at Kara Golden.
Check that one out, yeah.
Yeah, and but I'm on Twitter a lot.
Twitter's
and
fun.
And I'm not into I don't get into politics, I don't get into, you know, religion.
You get into water, not hot water, you get the Hint water. There you go.
I get it. Well, and I also just get into I show a lot of my puppy pictures on there. I make my puppy was one of my puppies was on my lap last night snoring so loud you have no idea. I'm like, who is she? Like, this is like insane, and people were just cracking up. It's like, you know, good
Twitter's
thing she's
fun.
So cute.
Twitter, if you do it right, can be a lot of fun. So
exactly.
You're also on LinkedIn, Kara Golden. What a surprise, you know.
Exactly.
One word, you know, linkedin.com/in/Kara Golden. So Kara, this has been so much fun. It's so neat to, you know, meet you after I read your book, which I felt like I knew you after the book. So this is great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen
or pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, which I share my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great rest of the week and 2023, and goodbye for now.